opportunity that we can assemble ourselves into the house of the Lord and to worship and praise his name. We want to welcome you, those of you that's joining us by Facebook and those of you that are joining us through the call line. We want to welcome you this morning and tell you we are so grateful that you found time in your busy schedule for the Lord this morning. Amen. Amen. We are going to begin our service. We're going to go into a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we come right now in the precious name of Jesus. We want to tell you thank you for your goodness. We want to thank you for your mercy. We want to thank you for your grace. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your hands of protection that has protected us all week long. You protected us from accidents seen and those that were unseen. That's why today, God, we lift up a grateful heart and we want to say thank you. Father, as we go into this service today, we acknowledge, we know it is not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit. As right now, we welcome your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come on in and do what only you can do. We step ourselves aside, oh God, and we say, have your way. Lord Jesus, you know the needs of your people. You know the desire of their heart. You know the word that they need to keep them going one more day. Lord, we realize many of amongst us today are sick, and there's some that's sad, Lord Jesus, and there's some that have lost the joy they had. I'm asking you now in the name of Jesus that you will cover them with this Spirit. God, you will build them up where they have been torn down. You will heal them in the areas that they are sick. Father God, but most of all, you will touch them in their minds. Regulate their minds so, God, may they, God, be able to focus on you. We want to tell you thank you, Lord, for our pastor as he would go forth in your word in this service today. Hide him behind the cross. Give him a right now word, a word that will suit your people. We want to tell you thank you. We want to praise you, and we want to call it done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise the Lord. For our scripture lesson today, grab your Bible and let's take a few minutes that we can read the word of the Lord. And I want to read to you today a portions of Psalms 34. I'm going to read from verse numbers 1, and we'll probably stop around verse numbers 18. Amen. And hear ye the words of the Lord. Psalms 34, 1 through 18. The word of God says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamp round about them that fear him and deliver them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Let me read that one again. Oh, fear the Lord, ye his saints, amen, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Amen. Come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach ye the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and that loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil, thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord, listen to this, are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. And hear the word of the Lord. The righteous cry, and the Lord hear it, and deliver him out of all their troubles. Amen. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and save such as be of a contrite spirit. Hear ye the word of the Lord. Amen. Amen.
Lord, do it. Lord, do it. Lord, do it for me.
Yes, sir.
Yes, yes.
Right now.
Right now.
Right now don't mean we can't wait on him.
Yeah.
When we say right now, we mean in God's perfect time.
Yes, sir. Yes,
right
sir.
Now.
Right now.
Right now. Do it for me. Right now. There's a word from the Lord. Turn your Bibles with us to the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 12. Second Corinthians chapter 12. This morning, I want to shine a sermonic spotlight on a familiar passage of scripture, verses 7 through 10 of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. Let us pray. Lord God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Oh God, we thank you right now for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. And once again, another time, oh Father God, fill your handmaid, sir, as we gather around your feet to hear a word from you.
Yes.
You said in your word that heaven and earth will pass away before one syllable, one sound, one jot, a tittle of your word passes away. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth according to your word, but your word will stand forever. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was the Word. And we thank you for that. Father God, we aren't able to understand or explain or teach or preach this by ourselves. So we ask you to allow your Holy Spirit to come on in and exhibit his perfect preaching and teaching ministry right now in the name of Jesus. Father God, allow me the ability and give me and grant me the skill to preach this word with conviction and authority right now in the name of Jesus. Bind Satan right now as he goes to and fro trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Father God, we are not an unlearned people. We understand, oh Father God, because we lack for lack of knowledge. We perish. And we thank you right now for giving us a mind, waking us up this morning to come and hear from you. So bind Satan as he goes to and fro, trying to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Father God, draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Make this word plain enough so that a child can understand. Let somebody's heart be turned around today. Let somebody recommit themselves to you today. Let somebody be encouraged knowing that you're still sitting on the throne in the midst of our circumstance and situation. And oh, Heavenly God, awesome Jesus, whatever's accomplished in this setting, we will be so careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people hear it. Second Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at the 7th verse. And this is the Apostle Paul speaking. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ... Are y'all hearing me?
Yes, sir.
I'll go back it up. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. I'm going to draw my topic for my conversation with us this morning right from the B clause of verse 10. When I am weak, I am strong. When I am weak, I am strong. Rest yourself as I talk to you from the Lord. When I am weak, I am strong. I want to preach and teach this morning about what Paul says, when I am weak, then I'm strong. A little girl found a cocoon and she placed it in a jar in her bedroom because she knew that eventually out of it would come a butterfly. And so she saw that butterfly struggling in that little opening of the cocoon, trying to get out. And she made a larger hole to help the butterfly, in her thinking, get out of his cocoon. And rather than its wings, follow me, church, being beautiful and flighty, the wings were drooping and stuck to its body, and it was doomed to a life walking rather than flying. Because in her youthful innocence, she could not know that it was the struggle to get out of the cocoon that made the butterfly fly and be strong. Oh, y'all didn't hear me. It's struggle. It's crisis. It's bad news. It's sickness. It's distress. It's getting tired. It's trying to put one foot in front of the other with the wind in your face. It's the struggle in life that strengthens you to make you strong. Hear me. For there are some things in life that God is determined that he will not fix until you go through the crucible of suffering. I will say it again. For there are some things in life that God is determined that he will not fix until you go through the crucible of suffering. I wish I had all my deacons here to shout back at me. I'm not talking about being shattered. Because there's a difference between being shattered and broken. Divorce will shatter you, but you can get married again. Losing your job can shatter you, but you can get employed again. Being shattered means you can get fixed, but being broken means God has to humble you. I got on my knees at the beginning of this church building shutdown and got caused by this pandemic COVID-19 thing. We are a growing ministry and we had spiritually motivated godly plans to increase and improve. In my spirit there was an abundance of rain. I saw God doing marvelous things in the body of this ministry. I asked God to keep my body and mind strong. I asked God to give me what I need to lead in this effort. Give me grace and favor, God. Put your hands on me that I may lead your people. New Jerusalem was experiencing a spiritual growth spurt. I was presented, and then I was presented with a long-term marital relationship that changed, and then here comes the pandemic. It presented itself. I didn't ask for this. I asked for grace. I asked for his hand to be on my life. I asked for strength to lead my church in this effort. I asked God to give me more power than he gave me last year. I'm a nobody. I have no degrees attached to my name. I can't sing. I don't hoop at the end of a sermon. I ask God often, why me? Why you had to choose me? Why you couldn't choose somebody else? It can't be because my daddy, the late but great Reverend Dr. Philip Clark Jr., was a pastor for 44 years. It couldn't be that. Right. But God gave me being single, a pandemic, some of the membership unhappy, by the way, pastor and pastor priest. I can handle changing and working on my leadership skills. Yeah. I can learn from other pastors how to preach and upgrade my homiletical skills. Yeah. I can handle that extra work on top of all other things I'm required to do. So I made an evaluation of my circumstance and my situation. And I decided before I throw in the towel, Reverend Lyles, and give up on my calling, I should talk and listen to someone else. God, that's right.
Yes.
And like Hezekiah, I called on my God. I turned my face to the wall in my own personal way. And I said, Lord, I've been preaching your gospel for 26 years now. I've been telling your story, sharing my witness. I've been far from perfect, and I know I fall short of your glory many times. I said, Lord, how can I better myself? I'm not a pastor without secular employment. I got to work too. I don't require or expect my ministry to take care of me. In fact, God, I'm following the request of my great predecessor, the great Reverend Charles Jones, when he said to the Seaboard Association moderator, make sure when I'm gone that my church has a minister, a pastor that does not need this church to take care of him. But God, that also gives me some time and strength limitation. I'm still a mere human. My daddy told me, son, when you get in this position, it will be lonely at the top. The arm of flesh will fail you. Learn quickly how to lean and depend on Jesus. Help your child preach, Lord. As I contemplated on all this, a word came to me. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of things God has already done for me. To keep my feet on the ground, to draw me even closer to him, he gave me something that I have to depend on him more than ever. How can I get a witness up here? God said, if I let you do all you got planned to do without me, you will take glory that does not belong to you. So to keep you humble, Warren, to break you, to mold you, to shape you, to keep you where I want you, I have to make you dependent on me. Because daddy's not here with you no more. Brothers and sisters will show up in the church every now and again. Church folk will not always be there. They will not understand what the shepherd has to endure. But late in the midnight hour, you will need somebody whose grace is sufficient.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Help your child preach. Now, I want you to understand as I hurry how Paul shares the depth of the dilemma he is in. Because Paul, lest y'all say pastor's not in the word, Paul uses the word thorn and buffet. Thorn, it's not a prick from a rose bush. It's a wooden stake that impales you. Every now and again, it chugs at you, impales you. And then he uses the word buffet.
Yeah.
Buffet should means to be struck with blows constantly. I want to talk to somebody here this morning who is being buffeted, who has had a thorn, or you got a thorn, who has been through your own crisis, or you are going through it right now. Nice little anecdotes, sweet little church sayings will not get you through what you're going through. I wish I had some noise in the place. Whole lot of people who mean well have said to me, you going through the same thing I've been through. No, I'm not. It's my life. It's my situation and my circumstance. I should not have to go through it, but I am anyway. And since I'm going through it, I want the devil and the world to know it did not catch my God by surprise. It did not catch my God by surprise. Listen, It might have been carried to me and you by Satan, but it was conceived by God. Because God won't let anything happen to his child that catches him off guard. Now, if you have been through anything, oh, y'all ain't feeling me. If you have been through not been through anything, you can sleep right through this message. But if you've been through your own storms, or you're going through a storm, if you had your own thorns stabbing you in your soul, everything you thought you were getting around the corner, the thorn stabs you again. Every time you thought you were feeling better, that thorn stabs you again. Every time you thought that you had to cry no more, that thorn makes you cry again. Anybody under the sound of my voice have ever had your own thorn in the flesh? The loss of a child, the loss of a mother, a father, sickness in your body, whatever your thorn is, I got some good news for us today. I got some good news. First today, Paul said, I went to the Lord and asked him three times to remove it. Lord, this situation I'm going through, it has an effect on what I'm called to do for you. Can I get a witness up in here? When you are in the middle of a storm, it wakes you up in the midnight hour. It will not let you go to sleep when you're supposed to go to sleep. You eat your favorite food, but you really don't have a taste for it. It does not taste the same because you're stressed out because of the storm, because of the stress you're going through, because of the sickness in your body, because of the stabbing in your back. Activities we enjoy, we don't enjoy because your enthusiasm and energy level has been depleted. God can't do what you want me to do in this condition. While I'm going through this crisis, God, I don't feel like doing nothing. I don't want to talk to nobody. Matter of fact, every time somebody says something to me, I go off the deep end and snap off of them like they did something. Church people, let me help you, people of God. When you got people you say hi to, especially in the church, that snap off for no apparent reason, don't take it personal. They just projecting their situation on you. It ain't got nothing to do with you. They need to really find themselves a place in God.
My Lord, preach.
Hey, God, I can't do what you called me to do in this condition. While I'm going through this crisis, while I'm in this sickness, while I'm in this storm, I can't do what you called me to do. For me and my condition, I must will. Can I tell you? I gotta give y'all. Y'all think I'm just talking something I don't know. For me and my condition, I gotta wear an insulin pump for the rest of my life. That's right. To look at me, I'm healthy, fine, and well. But I must wear an insulin pump and medical info placed into my iPhone to let the first responders be informed in case I'm in an accident or have to be taken to the emergency room. I'm considered, in medical definition and term, to have a disability. This insulin pump is a real reminder that I have a weakness. If I do not know who I am and I lose reasoning and consciousness, they told me I need a bracelet. Well, that will remind others and me that I have a deficiency. And y'all ain't with me.
Go ahead, preach.
Can I take it up a little higher? Every now and then, God has to put me in my place.
Y'all
didn't hear me. Every now and then, God got to put me in my place to remind me that I got a deficiency. That without God, I can do nothing. Long ago, I went to the Lord. I asked him to remove this thorn called diabetes three times. But like Paul, I hear him say, Warren, my grace is sufficient for you. My grace is enough. I know in your weakened condition, you are not enough. You want to know something, Warren?
I'm just letting y'all hear the conversation.
Go ahead, friend.
I want to let you know something, Warren. Before you got this condition, you are not enough.
Amen. Amen.
to let you think you had it going on. I just let you believe you were living a life all on your own. You are a high achiever in the United States Army, on the fast track to high promotion. You were married for 40 years considering yourself a big success until you got divorced, until you came down with diabetes and you had to leave the service. You think you were preaching and passing on your own, but now you know. Now you know. All I have to do is move my head. And everything that you call yourself will come to nothing. My grace will make up for your insufficiency and your deficiency. My grace will make you more than enough. Now hear, people of God, it's the theology that backs up my topic. Because my strength can only be made perfect in your weakness. My strength can only be made perfect in your weakness. I wish I had time to preach this. And so gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmity. So that in my weakened condition, listen y'all, the power of God may rest upon me. Pray for me, church, as pastor tries to close this message. In my weakened condition, I have to depend on his grace. I thought I was. I thought I was doing pretty good. I thought I was being a good man, a good Christian, a strong Christian. I thought I was a faithful believer. But God said, I'm about to show you something. I'm about to show you something, young boy. You have not been doing nothing. You thought you were preaching for the last 26 years. Wait until I get you where I want to get you. You thought you were pastoring New Jerusalem. Let me show you something. You are not going to be able to make a step unless I walk before you. You will no longer be able to stand unless I stand up in you. It's going to be my power. It's going to be my power that they see and not yours. And when they shout, it will not be because you're preaching. It's because the Holy Ghost is moving on their heart. So when I turned my face to the wall, like Hezekiah, I said, Lord, I don't know how many years you're going to give me to do this.
My God.
However short my time here. I just want you to know, I want to give you my best hallelujah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to give you my best thank you, Jesus.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I want to wave my hands in the sanctuary. I want to be a living testimony that it is no secret what God can do. I went to the doctor the other day. I started to get kind of concerned, Reverend Lyle, because they kept me waiting longer than usual in the room by myself. I've been seeing Dr. Pollock, my endocrinologist, for over 20 years. He never kept me waiting as long. He comes in the room finally and says, Mr. Clark, my wife and I, who she's also an endocrinologist, we have come to the conclusion about you.
My Lord.
I said, what's that, dog? You have had diabetes for over 36 years.
My God.
Yet your blood work is excellent.
Hey. All right.
Your kidneys, eyes, and your heart are showing no damage from the disease. You are a lucky man.
Yeah.
I said, hold up.
Hello.
Wait a minute, doctor. Let me correct your theology.
Yes.
This has nothing to do with my luck or my good fortune.
That's right.
I waited patiently on the Lord, and he inclined to my ear.
Yes.
Unto him, he took my feet out of the muck and the miry clay. Is there anybody here who knows God answers prayer? And when you pray and pray right, God answers prayer.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Won't God do it?
Yes,
sir. Won't he do it?
Yes,
I'm not standing here too long, but my soul is happy. God will make a way out of no way. He will pick you up. He will turn you around. God is a burden bearer.
Yeah.
I got happy, but God keeps saying, yo, my grace, I know what grace is. me. Sufficient has two meanings. It has a meaning in the secular, and it has a meaning in the spiritual. In the secular world, it means enough, adequate, competent. But I need to give you a spiritual definition when I began to research this thing and did an etymological study in the Word of God. And I asked the Holy Spirit to show me. That I found out, Reverend Lyle, that there was a doctrine of sufficiency.
Yes, it is.
The doctrine of sufficiency means that God's Word and His Scripture is a fundamental tenet or basic of Christian faith.
Yes.
To say that God's scriptures are sufficient means that God and the Bible is all we need.
Yes.
Are y'all hearing me? It is all we need to equip us for a life of faith, a life of storms, a life of ups and downs. God's intention through His grace and His sufficiency is to equip us, to give us right relationship back with Himself. And that's why He sent this Son called Jesus down to 2,000 years. And He sent this Son, born of a virgin, born in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. He walked the earth for over 30 years, walked on water, healed the sick, raised the dead. And then He died. He died so He could have power, so that the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. And because He died and He rose up on resurrection ground, that means that He is sufficient. He is all that I need. In the midnight hour, He's all that I need. He's a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He's bread in a starving land, water in dry places. He's a balm in Gilead. He's Joshua's courage. He's Abraham's faith. I used to never remember lies, get up here and give y'all the imitated discipleship. Actually, just helping the spiritual job of that. But I see a person responsible to invite you to give your life to Christ.
Yes.
You need to know that now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. When you hear His voice, harden not your heart. I don't care what you're going through, God got a way. I'm keeping you in the midst of the bad situation. I don't know what Gladys Knight was talking about when she talked about making the best of a bad situation. But I know what Jesus was talking about when He said, you ought to bless me at all times. Your praise should be continually in my mouth. And then David busted and said, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. So I'm telling you, now is the second time. Now is the day of salvation. God said, I'm working on you. I'm trying to save you. Now, if you know the Lord and you have not been following the Lord for whatever reason the devil put in your mind, God said, you can rededicate your life back to me. He said, because I'm married to the backslider. He said that you thought that I forgot you. No, I have not forgotten you. You forgot me. But guess what? You still on my mind. That's why I allowed you to ride through the intersection the other day, and that car that you didn't see didn't wreck you and take you out. That bullet missed you. He said, I got you. All the way. Oh, if you don't have a membership, we'll gladly accept you in this membership. We'll gladly accept you. I'm going to give you my personal phone number. Call my phone and we'll talk about you joining up with the people of God, or we'll talk about you giving your life to Christ. My phone number is 954-612-0141. That's 954-612-0141. I will pray and discuss the Word of God with you. May God bless. May God keep you. This is my prayer. Let me give us the benediction. May the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of His Holy Spirit rest, rule, and abide with us both now and forevermore. And the people of God say, amen.